Chapter 6. Meeting the Legion.
You have to understand the position Penitent's Legion is in before you judge Centurion Darius too harshly, young lad.
Sitting, broken on the grass, Godric and Tolo held in shivers brought on by the cold night and the emotional trauma they had undergone. The smile on Centurion Darius's face was still burned into Godric's mind. Did he enjoy torturing new recruits, or was it just him and Tolo that brought him such pleasure? After being assigned to the Engineering Corps, a large number of Godric's fears had been lifted. He wouldn't be put on the front lines and forced to fight hand to hand with orcs and goblins. He would be left back at camp, mending siege engines and tinkering with artifacts. The previous night had brought his ideas of a comfortable life crashing down around him once again. If his own legion would treat him like this, how much worse would the enemy be? No one here wanted to give him an easy ride. If anything, it seemed Centurion Darius insisted on making his life as much of a living hell as possible.
Penitence is a bottom-tier legion. We can't attract the same kind of talent that the big names can. We get given the jobs no one else wants to do. To act as guards during trades with untrustworthy allies, to travel the treacherous roads, to fight in battles with unfavorable odds. We are the Ascendancy's workhorse, sent to do the tasks no one else wants to. You see, in a legion like that, we need to know the man standing by our side. We need to know that they won't stab us in the back the first chance they get. We have to test if you'll crack the first sign of discomfort. Let me tell you, lad, the legion went easy on you last night. Yes, you were uncomfortable. Yes, you were manhandled and questioned. But did they really try that hard? Did they pull your claws out one by one? Did they burn hot steel into your body? Did they murder your friends in front of you for not giving them the information they wanted? No.
For a moment, Godric saw a change in the old gnome's eyes. Where they were usually kind and gentle, a fire had lit inside, a seriousness and intensity that changed the entire persona of his optio. And then, it was gone.
You did well, lad. You said enough not to get yourself killed, but not so much as to compromise the mission. You have some brains. Just learn from us. Bad will make a soldier of you yet.
Now, with party!
Six popped out from behind one of the legs of the recruits standing around Zelrin.
Aye, we party! Some of the lads from the range division managed to take down a pair of boars in the forest last night. We'll have a feast for lunch, I assure ye.
Meat!
A party! Are you sure it's really the best time for that?
Aye, there'll be lots of bees. Meat and bees. You really can't say no to that, Catboy.
I might enjoy an ale. I didn't see any in the supply cart, though.
Godric remembered how Tolo's nightly singing had won him many friends among the new recruits. He obviously was keen for a party. Maybe he'd sing again.
Come on, Godric. It won't be too long, and I'm sure you could do with some food after what we've been through.
Okay, I'll go, but let me have a sleep first.
Yes, I think a rest is probably a good idea.
The new recruits passed out where they sat, left to sleep for the rest of the morning. They were woken by the chants of the existing members of Legion Penitents who had gathered for the promised celebration feast that lunchtime. The smell of the cooking meat was almost too much to bear as the newly minted legionnaires made their way to join the growing throng of people around the fire. Standing back, unsure of how to interact with the new recruits and, even more so, the seasoned officers, Godric watched as Tolo ran to meet a couple of the recruits he had got to know well. Reaching behind his back, Tolo pulled out his ukulele. He was already tuning the strings as he sat down, engaging with his fellow recruits and new friends. Godric stood there, still unsure of how to proceed. Tolo had made fast friends. He'd never had many friends himself. Stuck on his family estate with no one but Tolo and his brother, occasionally Master Marl to talk to, though he was never one for small talk, he'd never really had the time or the inclination to practice social interactions with others. He'd had everything that he'd needed on his family estate. He could talk grand strategy, philosophy, and history with anyone, but conversing around a campfire was foreign to him. He'd spent too much time with his father and tutors. Maybe he should have got some friends of his own at some point. It seemed he would have this chance to practice as one of the seemingly popular guys among the new recruits stood up and called for quiet.
"Guys, quiet down. We must have the music playing. Tolo is already tuning his ukulele. The rest of you join in. Let's start the party together."
At this, several of the other recruits, and indeed some of the seasoned members of the Legion, pulled out their instruments. An orc pulled out a comically sized fiddle. A Tatarian pulled out his drum, and an already drunk dwarf appeared to warm up for the vocals. Surprisingly, even Six pulled out a tiny flute. Where she was hiding it, no one knew. The assembled musicians gathered together and warmed up their instruments. The dwarf, too eager it seemed, began on his own drinking song, shouting loudly as the others rushed to start playing the melody underneath him. Surprisingly, Tolo looked in his element. To Godric, this made no sense. The Tartarian had grown up on the estate, much like him. From his eyes, Tolo had had as little interaction with others as Godric had. How had his faithful servant adapted so easily into such a strange environment? It seemed perhaps he had finally found a peer group that appreciated his music. Maybe that gave him the confidence he needed to come out of his shell. Godric remained, standing and watching the merriment continue. The songs got louder, the singing got worse. The crazed dancing around the fire was somewhat enchanting to watch. Several of the younger female recruits tried to pull Godric into a dance. He roughly refused, wanting to stay on the sidelines for as long as possible. Eventually, enough was enough. Godric had been taught to be polite. He had manners. He would go and talk to his fellow recruits, join in with the revelry, and maybe make some friends in the Legion. Godric made his way towards the loud-spoken human male that had called for the music in the first place. Having almost made his way there, Godric felt an arm snake around his shoulders as he was dragged even faster towards the gathered humans.
"Guys, this is Godric. You remember him way back. He was that guy that made us have to do 50 press-ups. I hated him back then, but you know what? All's forgiven, Godric. And we're now all part of Penitence Legion. Together, brothers in arms! Isn't it great?"
Questioning his life's direction again, Godric could do nothing but be dragged along, smiling and apologising as he went. Finally, he was amongst the gathered humans, the popular recruit standing in the middle. Godric now saw it was Akkad, a dark-skinned human who had shown to be up to any task the Centurion had thrown at him. Strong-willed and strong in body, this young man fit the Legion well.
"Well, Godric, it is nice to meet you.
Welcome to our little gathering here. I am Akkad. This is Firan and Tivi, my friends from before the Legion. I know that you are drafted, but from what I hear, you come from good stock, Godric. What is it that you hope to gain from being in the Legion?
I haven't had much time to consider it, really. Being drafted was not part of any plan I had before.
But you must have an idea of what you could achieve. It's a great honor to be in the Legion. We fight for the crown. We fight to make a better world than has come before us.
Tivi, the young human female, spoke up. It was at this moment that the arm which had wrestled him into this group detached from his shoulders, and Godric turned to see an extremely drunk human male standing there. Firan, from what he remembered. Firan stuck to Akkad like a limpet to a rock. He obviously understood the lad's popularity and wanted some of the sunshine for himself. He figured standing in Akkad's shadow would somehow bring him some fame and fortune.
Godric, I saw you with the sword drills. You know a thing or two about fighting, I know it. You must have had some pretty good teachers in your time. Where did you say you grew up? You must tell me who taught you so I can learn some of the fancy skills you have. Ah, yes, I had many teachers in my time, but by far the greatest, the grandest, and the wisest was Master Mal. Dear Tolo's great-grandfather, in fact. Master Mal is both wise and gentle. He has read more books than I could possibly imagine. He is rather ancient, so he's had many of my lifetimes to do it. His teachings from the Book of Songs and Storms changed the direction of my life, truly. His words of wisdom helped guide me when I was but a cub. The lessons I learned from the four-day war, what at first reading seemed like a simple battle between two armies, was espoused by Master Mal as a chess match between two equal minds. If you've never learned battle strategy from Master Mal, I tell you, you have not learned battle strategy at all.
And so Godric went on, waxing lyrical about his old tutor, Master Mal. It seemed, if given the right topic, Godric could talk with ease. And pleasantly, his fellow recruits did seem in awe and interested to hear about the master that had taught Godric all he knew. Unfortunately, Godric's monologue was broken rudely by Six prancing around his feet, playing her flute loudly, insisting that he join her for a dance around the fire. Unable to dissuade the pestering kobold, Godric's terrible dancing and poor footwork resulted in him stepping on Six quite a number of times, eventually quite heavily on her tail, which ended the frivolities and resulted in him needing to spend the next half an hour calming her down and soothing her damaged pride. And so the party wound on and wound down, many recruits and officers staying up into the night, telling stories and recounting old days of battle and friends long past. The final day's march to Stutmouth held no extra surprises for the recruits. After passing the initiation / hazing test, the recruits were treated more as equals by the other members of the Legion, though Centurion Darius retained his customary look of disdain and loathing. On the final night, the cohort camped on a hill overlooking the city, still several miles away. In the distance, just outside the city walls, hundreds of fires could be seen marking out the main penitence camp. The final morning march brought them right into the middle of what the older members of the cohort referred to as Camp Penitence. Centurion Darius and a few other officers broke off, seemingly to meet with the Penitence Tribune, the leader of the entire Legion. Godric wondered what kind of a person led Penitence Legion. Likely a sadistic monster, if Centurion Darius was anything to go by. In the distance, Godric could see a strange tent that stood out from all the rest. A closer look showed the flag of Fractal Legion flying above it. On the flag, the fractal insignia, a compass, sword, and axe, denoting the focuses of that legion. A fractal contained the brains, the strategists for the Ascendancy army. Having been addressed by a scruffy orc, one of the officers directed the recruits to a plot of land left for the new cohort. Already muddy with the tromping of many feet, the new recruits threw down their gear and began pitching their tents. They had almost finished when a loud bell sounded, seemingly calling everyone to gather for an announcement. Godric and Tolo made their way, pulled by the crowd, towards the raised wooden platform in the centre of camp. Standing atop this platform was a creature Godric had heard many, many stories about, but never seen in person. A centaur. Standing proud, the elegant woman stood in her armour, gazing out at the gathered soldiers.
"I see many new faces out there. I say a warm welcome to our new recruits, and a welcome back to older friends. Unfortunately, that will have to do for the pleasantries. We are facing dark times. Fulcrum is again on the move. All of our intelligence suggests that he is heading for the capital. It is said he wants to cut the head off the snake. Obsidian, Paragon, and Aramantine legions are guarding the capital and will hold out against any threat. We, Legion Penitents, have been given a greater honor. We will be marching through the heart of the Wildlands, right to the border of the old Sovereignty Territory.
At this, excited murmuring began amongst the crowd.
Before you write this mission off as a cakewalk, do not forget that we are Legion Penitents. We shall be almost inside enemy lines, with none of the other legions to back us up. Section leaders, inform your cohorts as is necessary. Keep it to a need-to-know basis. We leave tomorrow at sun up. Centurions, meet in my tent. The rest of you, dismissed.
Man, aren't they gonna tell us what the mission is? We're gonna be tromping through the forest. Who knows what we're gonna meet in there? There's bears!
Hey man, knock it off. They'll tell us if we need to know, and we don't need to know.
Many of the new recruits grumbled at the new orders, unsure of what they meant for their futures. Equally as perplexed, and hoping that they may gain some more information back at the tents, Godric and Tolo made their way to find Zilrin.
We're pretty much finished up here, boys. Not much more to do. The Legion just has to restock before we head out tomorrow morning. You know what? You've had a challenging couple of days. Take the rest of the day off. Go and venture in the city. Whilst you're there, you can fetch a few things for me. We only need a few items just to keep the core going. We're running low on arc frame weapons, so if you see any on the cheap, pick them up.
Turning to Godric, the little gnome whispered, though at a level everyone else could hear.
The higher-ups refuse to let us tinker with the regular Legion weapons. More pressing needs, they say. Anyway, if you find some low-level ones, we can boost them ourselves. I also need a new divination pearl too. I'm pretty sure 6 ate the last one.
Zilrin handed what must have been a shopping list and a bag of coin to Gimedin, then turned and walked off towards the officer's tent, apparently due for a meeting. Obviously forgetting one last tidbit, the gnome turned and shouted,
"Oh, and I almost forgot. The engineering corps is having a get-together this evening. It would be great if the new recruits could join and get to know everyone. We have a real fun time. I can't wait for you to meet the other engineers.
The city was like nothing Godric had ever seen. Towering buildings, grand hotels, taverns that looked like they'd been built hundreds of years ago. The smell of the markets both intrigued and disgusted him, depending on the stall. In fact, one stall in particular gave off a scent Godric had never encountered in his life. It was both sweet and bitter, with a meaty element to it. Looking more closely at it, he spied an animal on a spit roast with several unidentified fruits and vegetables roasting underneath. Whatever newfangled recipe this made, Godric wasn't entirely sure he wanted to taste it. From what Gimedin had told him, the whole city had started as a small chicken farm on the coast. The fertile land created by the swelling and ebbing of the stuttering rivers provided the perfect seed for a thriving city to grow out from the small farming community founded here. Add to that the fact that it was a coastal city, and Stutmouth became a hub of southern trade. Godric had already glimpsed the strange mix of people walking the streets, many of the races he'd never seen before. They arrived at the Artifact Quarter, a grand square surrounded by old buildings whose windows were bursting with weapons and items so fantastical that Godric had to stuff his paws into his armor to stop himself reaching out to grab them as they passed. Disappointingly, the shop that Gimedin eventually stopped at looked to be the oldest and tattiest of them all. Hidden in a dark corner and leaning dangerously to one side, the building looked to be held together with cobwebs.
"Here's the guy we usually use to purchase ingredients from. Zilrin said we need another pearl for divinations, but the shop owner knows my face and always bumps up the price for any Legion member. He won't have met you two before, so you go and get the pearl while Six and I search for some cheap weapons we can infuse."
At this, Gimedin handed Godric a bag of coins and marched off, Six running to keep up. A few yards away, the young dwarf turned and yelled back,
"Oh, also check if he has any cheap weapons we can use for arc frames!"
Feeling a little overwhelmed at being dumped in the middle of such a large city, Godric turned to Tolo, a questioning look in his eyes.
"I guess we go inside then?"
You lead. I'll follow."
Entering the shop, a bell tinkled as the duo stepped inside. Looking around the store, it was as tatty on the inside as it was on the outside. Cobwebs in every corner, broken, rotting shelves holding mysterious items and potion vials, old weapons and ancient armour. Trinkets that may be interesting to some, though Godric couldn't for the life of him tell what they could possibly be for. An old withered hand. A broken open locket. A vial that contained some sludgy liquid that moved of its own accord. Behind the counter, a wizened, old, frail man smiled back at them, a twinkle in his eyes and an excited look on his face.
"Hello there, my young Leodin, a young Tartarian. How may I, Zephyrus, serve you today, my dear fellows?"
At this, Godric gave Tolo a hard shove, pushing him towards the counter.
We need to purchase from you a pearl for divination. Do you have any in stock?"
"Of course, young Tartarian, I have many a pearl. Most artifact shops do, you know. It's 100 gold pieces for a simple pearl."
At this, Godric attempted to channel his father. Strong, silent and imperious. He simply looked around the room and gave a short growl.
Are you all right, my boy? I do have a potion for constipation somewhere back here.
Obviously, Godric's attempt at intimidation hadn't worked.
We were looking for arc frames and pearls, please.
Yes, you mentioned the pearls already, boy. Arc frames, you say? What exactly were you looking for? If I'm totally honest, I don't know what an arc frame is. I was sent here by a, friend, and he just asked me to ask if you had any. I do remember he requested cheap ones, if that's an option.
Arc frames, eh? Do they not teach this stuff in school anymore? You really don't know what they are. Well, as I'm sure you know, magic as we've come to know it today was harnessed by the first sovereign and taught to all his students and also his eventual successor. At first, the whole thing was kind of mysterious. All arm-waving and chanting, never entirely sure what result one would eventually end up with. It wasn't until the fourth or fifth sovereign that people really started studying magic as a serious discipline. One of the greats was a man called Arkwright. He was one of the first to identify and characterize the force which the sovereign used to perform his wonders. It was quite by accident, really. Arkwright had previously been a textile machine engineer and had worked on producing some of the fastest, most productive spinning frames in all Arcomnia. Well, he wanted to make his frames even faster and more efficient, and was studying a way to collect and distill the power used by the sovereign so that he could use it to enhance his machinery. He succeeded, in a way, and from that moment onwards, any item infused with the power of magic has been referred to as an Arkwright frame. Or Arkframe, for short. It really is incredible how much of the language around magic stems from textile terminology. Anyway, I'm getting carried away. You wanted more Arkframe base items, I see. Well, as a matter of fact, I think I may be able to kill two birds with one stone. You see, there is a blacksmith further up the river, a few miles out of town, who gave me some tools he needed infusing. If you could take them back to him, I'll happily give you the pearl half price. I'm pretty sure he'll have a nice store of cast-off weapons you can mess and tinker with till your heart's content.
That sounds very reasonable. You say it's just outside town. Where exactly do we meet this blacksmith?
Just head north and find the river that goes through the city. Follow it eastwards, and eventually you'll find the smithy. You can't miss it.
Burdened with their new task, the duo exited the strange shop, waiting in the square for Gimedin and Six to return from their own shopping spree. Eventually, the dwarf and the tiny kobold returned, bags full of items, pockets empty of gold.
Did you get the pearl for Zilrin? We couldn't find any base arc frames. Not sure where we're going to find some at this time of day. Everything will be closing in a couple of hours.
We have the pearl, though we're offered it at half price and with the opportunity to get some base arc frames from a blacksmith just up the river. If we make our way there now, we should be able to get to the smithy and back before the sun sets, and hopefully get some base arc frames for Zilrin to mess with.
50% off? That does sound pretty good. I know Zilrin loves a bargain. All right then, let's go see this blacksmith fellow and see if he does have a few cast-offs he can sell to us on the cheap.
And with that, they began their march.